All right, Patrick. So I'm going to read you a tweet here from Big Baller Twins, who is responding to a Miguel Sano critique that I tweeted a few weeks ago, and he's coming back this morning. Now that Sano hit a home run yesterday, he says, Miguel Sano is hitting 333 with a 1,000 OPS since you tweeted this a couple weeks ago, and he's striking out half the amount that he was before then. Since the sticky stuff crackdown, breaking ball usage is getting lower, and the fastball-hungry Sano is now seeing more heaters. The next 3 months could be fun for him.
All right, Big Baller. Is he accurate here on the batting average, or is he just making that up?
I don't know what chunk of time he's referring to here, but yeah. Sano has been fairly hot as a platoon player the last couple weeks.
He's only been playing twice a week, yeah, so that probably helps. But that certainly was something that we've all been begging him to do now for about 4 years, right? Take that pitch that's a little bit away and hammer it to right field. And if only that, and we've seen it before, and if only it could stay in his head for more than 15 minutes, it might work, right? But next time he'll be back doing what he does. So we'll see here. But if some team has taken note of this recent stretch of alleged competence and wants to make you an offer, I would still accept it in a heartbeat. So, and you know what? If they want to take Michael Pineda with them in the beef acquisition, I think that I would go along with that too. It was nice that he did kill that ball yesterday, and that was fine. That happens once in a while. So they played good ball game last night, though. And what was the final game time, Jeff?
2:23. It was great.
Yeah, Hap throwing it over. I'll say that for him. He was working fast. Isn't it wonderful to see somebody working fast? I was watching on TV. Jim Cott was so excited he could hardly breathe because the guy was working fast, you know.
Yeah, no, it was great. And I wonder if Cott went to Hap at some point and said, look, you're pitching tomorrow night? Just freaking throw the ball. Because that was 23's.
No, so. I don't. Think, I'm kidding. I don't think they have any access to the players right now. So I doubt if that would have happened. There would have been a time a while back, but I don't think that probably would have happened. But I think somebody on that club is, you know, somebody in the brain trust is smart enough to say, come on, start working fast, and let's see if that works. And when you're throwing strikes, it's easier to work fast, right? When you're not throwing strikes, when you're 3-2 on the ballpark, it's you're not going to work fast because the fact that he was throwing it over had a lot to do with that.
Did you guys see the real baseball news of the week from a couple nights ago? That Corey Koski hit a home run batting sixth for the Loretto Townball team, hit a home run over the right field fence a couple nights ago.
Now, the Loretta Larks, I have not been out there for a couple of years, but I used to go out there a couple of Sundays and sit on the hill there and just watch them for a few innings. And that team has had Koskis, Tappanese, and Steinbacks on it, I believe. I know Tapp had a kid or two that played for him, and one of the Steinbach kids played on that team too. And
Hamill had the Steinbacks at one point too, a Steinbach.
Yeah. I think Tappany and there's another ex-twin there too that I've kind of organized the team there for a couple of years. I don't know if they're still running it or not, but nice little ballpark down there in the valley. I think Koski did it to celebrate his son's birthday or some damn thing like that. He agreed to play and hit a home run. So
he's got two kids. One kid was hitting ahead of him, fifth in the lineup, and the other kid was hitting like eighth or ninth. So there was three Koskis in the lineup for Loretto the other night.
That had to be some kind of a promotion for that. Yeah, somebody told me that yesterday. I hadn't seen anything about it. And then it surfaced somewhere, I guess, in the local media that happened, and good for him.
That's the feel. I tweeted this last night. So I grew up one town over in Corcoran, sure. Went to Buffalo, and so we played a lot of games as a kid on those Loretto fields. And that's the field. I've told you this story before, Pat, where in the middle of the game, a police car drives up to the top of the hill and comes down toward the dugout. And everyone's kind of wondering, oh, what's the police officer doing here? And we look out to center field, and the Loretto center fielder had dropped his glove, sprinted to the fence, hopped it, and ran into the cornfields.
Yeah, what is it? I thought, is it a cornfield? There's kind of a swamp out there, too, isn't there? There's kind of a swamp.
There's both. Yeah, there's like a wooded area. Yeah.
What was he running from as far as charges go? Do you know?
I had heard that he had gone missing, but like he just wasn't at home for a few days, and so I think his mom or something called the police. But he wasn't trying to run away or hide. He was playing baseball at Loretto's field, so I don't know.
So it was an indication that he was having family problems, that if he'd rather run into that mosquito-laden swamp than go home and see mom, that was not good. They must have had a little strife on the home front there. That would have been bad. So, guys, I got to tell you, we're Strib is doing this series on 91, 92, 30 years later, you know, the five big events we have. So, Judd and Phil would remember this probably, obviously. But the chaos of that summer, of the early part of 1990, before we wound up with Norm Green, is some of the craziest stuff that has ever existed. You had the Guns were turning down all offers to stay because George had a boyfriend or something out in San Jose and wanted to move out there. And then we got Howie the Hairdo, Baldwin, and then his partner. And then we had Louis coming up with this dispersal of talent with San Jose to make it happen, which, you know, nuclear physicists couldn't have figured out what the hell was going on with that. Louis's great quote was, "It's easy to figure out if you understand it," or something like that. And then we ended up finally with Norm as the savior. And a year later, of course, we were giving praise to him as, like Nero, he stood up in his box there in the Stanley Cup Finals. That was one of the most incredible things, and I was in on it because for a while we didn't have a beat writer and stuff, and it just was nuts. I'll never forget the morning, like in November or something. Norm was so hard up for Allies that he called me, Mr. Hockey, at like 7:45 in the morning. Somehow he had my number, and to complain and to basically weep that Montreal had been in town and they drew less than 5,000 people. And what am I going to do? Well, his answer was to get dancing girls and stuff like that. Remember? So
cash giveaways, the electric stars.
Yes. Yeah. Everything we were trying to do at Target Center. It's just amazing that somehow that team stumbled into a six-game Stanley Cup final the next year. It's amazing.
Hey, Patrick, go back and look up opening night. I want to say it was 1990 against the Blues. In fact, we might have been there. I think the attendance was like 5,400 on opening night.
Really? Wow.
Go back and look, and it's like Brett Hull and the Blues. I want to say you, me, and Rachel were there, but no one was there. It was empty.
And it was that because we thought they were leaving town still or what? I mean,
no, we just didn't care about them. No, we just didn't care.
Because the guns had stabbed us in the back, right? But could anybody but Lou Nanny? I talked to him yesterday, by the way. I called him and I says, "Where are you at, Banff or up at the lake in Wisconsin?" He says, "No, I'm in Alaska fishing for king salmon and halibut out on the sea, out on the Bering Sea." So, but I only Louis, first of all, he comes up with the merger. He gets the merger through the NHL with the Cleveland team. and gets the guns in as the owners, and then he gets the dispersal of talent deal with San Jose. They had to keep Luby around for the next year, even with the change in ownership, because he was the only guy that understood who the hell was going where after that deal. So, amazing.
And the Sharks actually took the North Stars GM, Jack Ferreira, stayed with the guns, and a bunch of those people went out to the West Coast. And so Norm came in and had to hire people. They hired Bobby Clark, but if you recall, Norm fired a ton of the staff as well himself.
Yeah, and Clark, though, was already hired by Howie the Hairdo, right?
I think that's right.
He was already the hot. It was already a hot rumor that he was going to be the GM, I guess. And then he brought in Gainey after Norm took over. But Norm finally took over in like July, and at least we had stability and we knew the franchise was going to be here for decades, right?
Until we didn't build him his casino skyway to the Mall of America. That's what he wanted. Right. He wanted a casino skyway. Yeah. It's the damnedest thing.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, he's smart.
I didn't know it was a casino, too, he was going to put in there. So
I think you want to put a casino in there.
Yeah, and then they wanted to get him downtown, and the Target Center people wouldn't, the Timberwolves wouldn't let them have their own boards and stuff.
Right.
So, like, if they had different sponsors, and anyway, what a nuts summer that was. As far as
when does that series come out in the Star Tribune, Pat?
Well, I got a long piece, kind of a setup piece, and then it runs Monday through Friday. So, but Sunday I kind of do it, and then then a bunch of guys are doing individual stories on each one of the events. So,
who's got the golf? The Open from 91.
I think Zagoda's got the golf. I think Jerry's doing the golf. Yeah, so it should be fun. It should be fun. But there was nothing crazier than hockey that year because it's just insane that somehow this team ended up. They were 16th in points out of 21 teams, and they're at one point leading the Stanley Cup Finals 2-1.
Hockey is random sometimes.
Yes,
Pat.
It is. Even then, it was random. That's true.
All right, we got to go. Enjoy the last few days of watching Nelson Cruz in a Twins uniform, and we will catch you early
next
week.
Where's he going?
Sir.
What's our guess?
Well, Toronto is kind of the latest team. They're just looking to bolster the already amazing lineup. So maybe he'll wind up in Toronto.
That'd be fun for him. They won't do it before the All-Star game, though, because they want him to go and represent them, right?
Yeah, you're probably right about that.
Yep. I wish he would have entered the home run derby. I think they wanted him in there just kind of as a tribute to his career of power, but I guess he didn't want to do that. So anyway.
Strain an oblique and be out 3 weeks. That'd be great. All right, Pat, we'll see you next week.
See you. Goodbye.
All right, wrapping with Royce.